Today's Shin Sachta Kedushin Daf Yud Tes. We will begin on Daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, 6 lines from the top. Barish Lok Shema Shmiya Odom Lebnoi Ekotin. Could somebody marry off his Oma of Ria to his son who is a cotton? And the Gemara's question says, the Gemara Bnoi Amar Rachmana, the Torah says, Oy Lebnoi Yodena, that the Torah gives the father, the owner of the Oma of Ria, the right to marry the Oma of Ria. And the Torah says, either he can marry her, Oy Lebnoi Yodena, it could be his son. If that's the case, what the Torah is teaching us is, call the who. As long as this individual is his son, he's included in the right that the father has to be miyad, the Oma of Ria to him. Oy Duma, or maybe what the Torah means to say, but noy Dumi today. When we speak about the son has to be similar to the father. Just like the father, obviously, Mahu, just like the father's obviously a godl, Af Benoi, the son too, has to be a godl, and if he's not a godl, then the halach is that the yud cannot take place. The Rambam and Rashi give two different approaches how to understand yud haben. Rambam explains that one wants to give his Oma of Ria in marriage to his son. The owner says in the presence of Edim, you are harayat mekudeshes to my son. Says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky Zatzal in explaining this Rambam, that the father is really the principal party who affects the kedushin on behalf of his son. That because, explains Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, the kedushin is taking effect with the money that the father had originally paid to purchase the Oma of Ria with. On the other hand, Rashi writes that a son performs yid with his father's Oma, says, Harei at mekudeshes li, with the money that my father gave your father. The words of Rashi seems to indicate that it's not the father who's doing the yid on behalf of the son, but rather it's the son who does the yid on his own behalf. Says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky that we just started our shir with Rish Lakish asking a question. How do we look at the yud that the father is doing? So says Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, if we follow the opinion of the Rambam, so we can understand the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is that the father is doing the yud. And now the question is, when the father's doing the yud, is it good enough that he's a godel and doesn't make a difference what the son is? Or do we have to look at who the son is as well? But according to Rashi, that the way Rashi explains that the yud is done by the son himself, so how do we understand what's happening in this Gemara? Asks Rav Shmuel Rozovsky. The son, certainly, if we're learning about an individual who is a katan, is not able to do anything on his own. So how do we understand the Gemara's question that says the Rav Shmuel Rozovsky that the only way he could understand Rashi's opinion is by explaining that Rashi's in Chumash, in Parashas Mishpatim, Rashi was actually following the Maskon of our Gemara. That according to the Maskon of our Gemara, that the son does the yud by himself. So Rashi in Chumash was explaining it according to the Maskana of the Gemara. The Pasuk also says, La'am Nochri, La'yim Shalom Machraba, that the Torah Kedoshah says that we're not allowed to sell our Oma of Ria to a foreign nation. Says the Ritva, that even without this Pasuk, we ought to know that our Oma of Ria cannot be sold to non-Jew. Because we learned in our previous year, says the Ritva, that the only time a purchase of an Oma of Ria is acceptable is only if that person could perform yield. So since the halacha is that, of course, one is not allowed to marry a non-Jew, so of course yield is not possible. So of course she can't be sold to a non-Jew, because how would we do the yield? So how do we understand the pasuk of la'am nochri la'yim shabachra that the Ramban says it means you're not allowed to sell her to non-Jew? So the Malbim tries to defend the Ramban, and he explains that although a non-Jew cannot perform yield, he could have a Jewish son. That means he could have a son who, a number of ways, this non-Jew was married to a Jewish woman and they had a son, that the son is a Jew. Or he has a son that who's non-Jewish, was Megayer, so now he's Jewish. So now, says the Ramban, that we need a pasuk, that we can't sell this Amavriya to this non-Jew, even though he has a Jewish son. Says Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, that explanation of the Ramban is only going to work according to Rashi. So according to Rashi, Rashi is saying that the yud is done by the son himself. Since the yud is done by the son himself, so we can understand what the Torah says, that even though this non-Jewish individual has a Jewish son, he still can't do yud. The reason he can't do yud, even though his son is Jewish, is because, and the son, as Rashi learns, does his own yud. The halach is he still can't do yud because the Torah had to tell us a chiddush that the son of a non-Jew can't do yud. But according to the Rambam, says Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, that the yud is really done by the father. And when the father is doing the yud, he's doing it on behalf of the son. So how are we going to understand this Ramban? The father is a non-Jew. The father obviously cannot do kedushin, cannot do yid. Says Rav Shmuel Rizovsky that the Rambam says that we'll have to will not be able to explain the pasuk of la'am nochri la'yimshel, but not la'am nochri la'yimshel b'migdaba, that means to teach us that it can't be sold to non-Jew, because that anyway would never be possible. So again, going back to the beginning of our shir, the Gemara began with a question that Rish Lakish posed. When a father is doing yud, on behalf of a son, how does the halacha look at that situation? Does the halacha look at it as if it's independent? The father is doing yud, and therefore, even though the son is a katan, it doesn't make a difference. When the Torah said benoy means any son, even if the son is a katan, or we to understand that the yud has to be only done with a son who's a gadol. And if the son is not a gadol, yud would not be an option. Amrav Zayir Toshma. The Torah says, Vish ashiyinaf as eshes ish, ashiyinaf eshes reyu, mois yumas anoyef of eshes. The Torah Dosh is teaching us that if an eshes ish has relations with a man, there's a chiv misam. Says the Gemara, the word ish comes to teach us, ish prat l'katan, that a katan is not chayiv. So, of course, Tosfos asked the question, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that a katan is not chayiv misa? Nowhere in the Torah, asked Tosfos, do we find that a katan should be chayiv einshim. Why were we here to think that the katan should be chayiv misa? So one Tosfos answers, it's just like we find in the Torah that if somebody, Rachman al Tzlon, has relations with an animal, that not only is the person who had relations with animal chayiv misa, but the animal as well, because the animal was party to this terrible act. Here too, since the katan was party to this terrible act of bia with an eshes ish, that's what the Torah has to say, that even though he was a party, he was party to touch such a terrible avera, he's not chayiv misa. The Ravid says that since he has hano, one of the unique attributes, abia, the avera abia, and it goes to the same halacha applies by eating non-kosher food, is that they are considered a different category of avera. And the reason that they are considered a different category of avera, shekeinena, they have benefit, they enjoy it. And therefore, an argument can be made that even though this person who did the bee is a katan, since he had a no, maybe should be chayiv Misa. Another pshat is that since this, obviously the katan that we're speaking about here is a katan that's able to do bia. He's above 9 years old, because if he was not above 9 years old, his bia would not be a bia. Since his bia is considered halachically a bia, therefore we would think that it included in that concept of saying that it's considered a halach bia is included that he be chayiv misa. That's why we have a pasuk says ish prat l'katan. Asher nefeshes ish prat leishes katan. That if somebody is married to a katan, there's no chayiv misa. Vi amrit miyad, and the reason is because there's no concept of ishus. There's no concept of marriage by a katan. But ask the Gemara if, according to the way we began the shiur today, I amrit miyad, that a father could marry off his oma to his son who's a katan. So she is considered im kain mitzino ishus lekatan. We're going to have ishus to the katan. And the Noda Behuda makes a very important point. Since we've learned that every kedusha means that the husband takes the wife, not that the wife makes herself available to the husband, so it can't be that the wife, who's a gedola, made herself available to the katan, who can't do a kedushin, and that should be considered a valid kedushin, because as we've learned, that is not a valid means of doing kedushin. Elamai, so because of this question, we're going to say, enemiyad, and therefore we can't come up with a situation that a katan can be married. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, and on the contrary, amai kamat lekro. The way to understand the question is as follows. If we're going to say that a katan, that there is a situation where a katan can be married, so now I need a pasuk to say that even though the katan and the katana are legitimate, the katan and this woman are legitimately married, she's still, since he's a katan, is not considered an eishes ish. But if you're going to say that there's never a case that a katan could do, that a katan could be married, so what does the Torah have to speak about it? Tifshe b'na. So from here, says the Gemara, on the contrary, it should be a raya that yiyud is possible. And the Torah is saying that even though yiyud is possible, she won't be considered an eishes ish to be chay with alochs of an eishes ish that was mezana. Omer of Ashi, says the Gemara, this pasuk is not speaking about yiyud at all. And therefore, the question we're asking about yud is not going to be answered based on this pasuk. Rather, says Rav Ashi, "Hoch biyodin ben teishes shana v'yom echad haba yom teskinim." We know that if somebody dies achman son without children, his brother does yibum. The way yibum is done is with bia. So the surviving brother who did the bia was 9 years old, and as we've said, the bia of a 9 year old is a bia. The medraisa chazilei. So that bia was a real bia, and therefore, Ma'adu Tema, says the Gemara, the Pasuk is teaching us, Kivan the Medaraisa Chazilei, since Medaraisa, they are to be considered husband and wife, and moreover, since he's 9 years old, moreover, that's the reason, because he's 9 years old, Biyasa Bihu, therefore, the woman who's married to him ought to maybe be, and she's a Gedoyla, ought to be considered an Eishes Ish, Habala Meschai Beishes Ish, tells us the Gemara that no, Kamash Malon, that's not a legitimate way, that since he's a katan, his wife will not be considered an Eishes Ish. The Marik brings a very bechidish. He says that let's say we have an individual who's a katan, whose father married him off, who did a marriage on his behalf. Says the Marik that it would be a valid kedushin, using the concept of zoch l'adam shlo b'fanav. So the father did something for the benefit of his son that he married off. Ask the Noda Behuda, if that's the case, our Gemara is looking for a case where you have an eishes ish, where the husband is a katan and the wife is a gedola. According to the Marik, asked the Noda Behuda, we just found a case where the father married this girl to the katan on his behalf. Says the Noda Behuda, the Tosfos Masechta Ksubos Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph Divrei Maskil Matpilin says that the concept of Zoch L'Adam Shaloi B'Fonav is not clear that if you could apply it Midaraisa only Midrabbanan.
So even if we'll apply the concept of Zachon L'Adam Shalei B'fanov, it could be it's only applicable Midrabanan. Since it's only applicable Midrabanan, so then the halacha is that that child would not be, that child that Kedusha would not be a Kedusha Deraisa. That's the Noida Behudis Teretz. The Kli Chemda says a different Teretz. He says the Gemara in Masechta Ksubis, that Fyur Aleph, teaches us what happens if somebody adopts a child who's not Jewish. So what's the halacha regarding that Geiris? The halacha regarding that Geiris is that when the child becomes a gadol, he could declare that he's satisfied with the Geiris or not. So suggest the Kli Chemda that even if we say that a father can marry off a son, that marriage will still depend on the son agreeing that it's a valid marriage or not. Since that marriage still depends on the father or the son agreeing that's a valid marriage, so that's why it's not considered a full-fledged Eishes Ish. You can't be considered a full-fledged Eishes Ish if the husband could walk away. And that's why the Gemara didn't give that teretz. Ask the Gemara, so might have a law. We began the shiur with the question about yud of a son who's a cotton. What is the halacha? Toshma, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Amar Yani, ain yid el begadol. There's no yid only when he's a gadol, ain yid el bedas. So ask the Gemara, Tarti, why did the Brice have to say two halachas? Ain yid el begadol, ain yid el bedas. Isn't that the way Rashi explains, that these are two sides of the same coin? Because you have to have das to do yid, and a cotton, we know throughout halacha, doesn't have das, so therefore, obviously, he can't do yid until he's a gadol. So why did the Gemara have to say two sides of the same coin? The other Rishonim say that the Gemara means to be sharper. The Gemara means to ask that Tarti seems to be a stira, that the two phrases are contradicting each other. It seems that if the cotton will have das, yid will be possible. Or if the father does yid on his behalf, that will make it into a good yid. But the question is why he's a cotton. And says the Gemara, the way to understand the two statements, and again, according to Rashi, it's very geschmack, ma tam kama, ma tam en yid el begadol. Why did the Torah mean to say, why is there only yid by gadol? Because fi'en yid el medas, you have to have das. So the Chazanish Nemeches Chinuch ask an interesting question. What will be the halacha if this son of the owner was a cotton at the time of the purchase of the Amavriya, but at the time of the yield, he was already a gadol? So the question is, do we follow the time of the sale, and at that point he wasn't a gadol, or do we follow the time of the yield that the yield was a gadol? And they want to connect it to machlokes that we've learned, and we'll still discuss them, Mitzvah Shem. What are the mechanics of yud? Are the mechanics of yud the Mas Rishonim, that the money that was paid when the Amar Avriya was bought is the money with which the Kedushin will be? So then we look at what the cotton was at the time, what age the son was at the time of the Mechira. That's the opinion of the Rabbanim. But if we follow the opinion of Rosh Yehuda, that the Kedushin is done at the end with the money that's left over, so then we look at his age at the time when the Yehud is done, not what his age was at the time of the Mechira. Vibay say, Mamai Midas, says the Gemara, what did Rabbi Yana mean with the word Midas? Midas the Da. We have to have her, the Amavri's agreement. The Tana Avaya Bered Rabbi Avuah, the Pasuk says, Ashloi Yehuda, says the Gemara, from the fact that the Torah says, he explains the word Yoda, Malamit Tzarech Yoda, that he has to tell, Tzarech Yoda, he has to tell her, I'm doing Yid. Says the Gemara, who? Tanila, who Amala? He said this price, and he explained this price, that you have to notify it, the Kedusha Yid. The price is speaking about
Kedusha Yud, and it's following the opinion of Yosef Yehuda, we just mentioned his opinion. So if we'll say that the original money was given for Kedusha, so she already became Mekudeshes at the time that, or potentially Mekudeshes, at the time the father sold her. And there, at that time, she certainly wasn't a Nara yet, and the father, she didn't have Das. So the father, all we need is the father's agreement. But if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda that we mentioned, that the Yid is done with the money that's left over in her value at the time of Yid, what does that mean to say? It means to say that we need her, that it's done at that time, and at that time, we need to have her agreement. So Rashi explains that what is the definition of Tzarech L'yada, that we not only have to notify her, that but she has to agree. Rabbeinu Tam says that we don't have to get her agreement, we just have to give her a notification. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says that afilu taima, even if we follow the opinion of the Rabbanan, who we explained, say that the mechanics of Yid are l'kedusha nitnu, that the money that was originally given at the time of purchase is what affect the kedusha, shani hacha, even though that's the case, so that's when the kedusha really took place. But the Torah says over here, Damar Rachmana Ya'ado, the Torah says that we have to have, again, according to Rashi, her agreement, according to Tosfos, her knowledge, and therefore, it doesn't make a difference when the Kedushin takes place. So the Gemara delves into that, Machloikas Rav Yosef Yehuda and Rabban. My Rav Yosef Yehuda, what is the opinion of Rav Yosef Yehuda that says that when we talk about a Omar Avriya, we say, Mos Harishoinis Lav L'Kedushin Etnu? The Tanya, the pasuk, the Bryce explains, the pasuk that speaks about Yud says, Ashloyad of a hefta, says the Gemara, Tzorch Sheshos B'yoim Kedei Pediya. When the Yud takes place, there has to be still left value in her with the owner of Pruta. As we keep on speaking, we spoke about Geroin Kesef many times in our Shurim, and the Aloch of Geroin Kesef means that we keep on deducting the value of the Amavriya. We keep on amortizing it from the time of the sale until the term is up. So there has to be at least a prota of value left in her at the time of Yid. Tzarech sheshos b'yoyim kedei pediya. Mikan, says the Gemara, because that is the halacha. Amar Yosef Rav Nachman, im yeshos b'yoyim kedei lasim hashav pruta. If there's still left over value of a pruta in her, in his equity in her, then Mekudeshes, because that will be the Kedushin, that value of Pruta left in her. However, in Lav, if at the point of him doing Yud, there isn't that value there, and Mekudeshes. Alma, it's obvious, the Yosef Yehuda says, the Sovereign Meister Shoah's Lav Kedushin Netnu, that the original money was not given the Kedushin. What is affecting the Kedushin? The money that's left over at the end. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, even Rav Yosef by Yehuda says Rav Nachman Yitzchak, the Kedushin Nitnu, that the original money that the father received when he sold his daughter as an Amar Avriya, that is with what the Kedushin is going to happen. But Shani Hacha, when we speak about Kedusha Yud, Dam Rachmana Yod of a Hefta. So in other words, the way Rav Nachman by Yitzchak is learning, there are two separate halachas. There's one halacha that the original money is with what the Kedushin takes place. And besides that, there's halacha that with the original money that takes place, that's the Kedushin, the Yud, the Torah Kedusha says, can only take place if there's an equity of a pruta left. But if there's no equity of a pruta left, then you can't do Yud. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Oyma Adol Belita Ektana. Somebody could say to his daughter who's still Ektana, Tzi V'Kabli Kedusha. Even though we know throughout halacha that a cotton doesn't have the ability to do a kinyan, here he could tell her, go accept your kess of kedushin. Says the Gemara, where does Rav Nachman learn this halacha from? Says the Gemara, he learns it for Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Lav Amar Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, Mas Rishonis Lav Kedushin Nitnu. The original money is not what creates the kedushin. Only as we've been learning, the Kimishai Bapruta, if there's a left an equity of a pruta from the owner and the girl, he could do Yid. That's when you're going to have Kedushin. So who is he doing the Kedushin with? He's doing the kedusha with the girl that's a ketana at this point. Amavri is a, could still be a ketana. So we see that even though the girl doesn't have the ability to do kedusha now herself, she could still, by doing that, by doing it based on direction, then it's chachinami loshna. The Sefer Chochmas HaTorah asks, we know that Eliezer was Mekadosh Rivka. But we know that when Eliezer was Mekadosh Rivka, Rivka was only a ketana. Some say she was only 3 years old. So how was that a valid kedushin? So he answers that that was exactly what the kedushin that Eliezer did with Rivka was the kedushin that our Gemara refers to. Basul gave Rivka permission, and he said, if you'll get somebody who'll give you money for kedushin, I'm authorizing that kedushin. And therefore, since I'm authorizing that kedushin, you will be mekudeshes, even though you're still a ketana. V'amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, ha-mekadesh b'milva. If somebody is mekadesh a woman b'milva, what does b'milva mean? Mechilas halvah. That means she owes him money and he forgives her the obligation. So we learned earlier in our Masechta that that really is not a valid kedushin because you have to give her something. But if Yeshua Mashkin, if she had left a Mashkin by him for that loan, Mekadoshes, says the Gemara, how do we know that that's a valid kedushin? Again, says the Gemara, based on what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda has taught us. But Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Lav Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Mas Rishonis Lav L'Kedushin Netnu. The original money that the father got for the purchase, for selling his daughter as an Amar Vriya, is not what affects the Kedushin. Hai Havaihi. So, there's no money. So, in other words, what the Gemara means to say is, that why is, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, why is a Mekadosh Milva not Mekadoshes? Because since Milva Leitzot Netna, he really didn't give anything to the woman when he's marrying her. But here too, the money that was given to the father at the time of the Kedushin, at the time of the sale, is no longer here. So how is it a valid Kedushin? Because she is the Mashkin. And that's why it's a valid Kedushin. The Chimashayba. And therefore, as long as there's still equity of a Shava Pruta, Umayyad, that's what's used to do the yud. That's what we're going to have a kedushin. Hachnami, if there's a mashkin that he's holding and he will give her back, that is the way the kedushin will be effective. Tana Bana Ketzem Yud begins the Gemara in describing how exactly is yud conducted. Says the Gemara, Amaloi, the owner says to the Amar Avriya, Befnei Shnayim, in front of two Edim, Hareyat Mekadeshesli, Hareyat Moresesli, even if it's ready at the end of the 6th year, which we know after 6 years she's going to go out free, even if it's right at the last moment of the 6th day. And from here, says the Rishash, we have a raya to Machlokes Rishonim that we quoted. We quoted a Machlokes Rishonim when we say that the Om Avri, the same halacha applies by Eved Ivri, worked for 6 years. How do we count the 6 years? Do we count the 6 years to the anniversary of the date? Or do we count the 6 years to the time that they began working? So the Rishash says, from here we see, and this is Rashi's opinion, that we don't count it to the hour, we count it to the date. And since we count it to the date, as soon as today, which is the last day of the 6 years, is over, the term is over, even though she was maybe began working only some part into the next day. And at that point, she's treated like a wife. Then no longer is she treated like a shivcha, which the Gemara Masechta Ksubis, of course, identifies the different way, the difference between a wife and a shivcha. Rabbi Yosef Yehudamar, as we've been learning in our shir, im yesh shos b'yom kedei lasas im ha-shava pruto. If the husband still has, if the owner still has equity in her of a shava pruta, then it's mekadeshes. Vimlav ain't mekadeshes. Says the Gemara. Marshal, how do we understand this halacha? Loy meleisha hiskachli ma'achal achas shloishim yoyim. be becoming Kaddish to me from today after 30 days. What it means to say is that you will become Mekudesh to me from today if after 30 days I still want to be Mekudesh to you. And now somebody else is Mekadesh this woman within those 30 days. That the halacha is Mekudesh Urishin. The first Kedushin are effective and the second Kedushin are meaningless act. Marshal Aman says the Gemara, the Braisa gave us a marshal, and as all the Rishonim point out, this is not the normal example of a marshal. A marshal usually is here to help us understand another the halacha that we just learned. Here the marshal is really introducing an independent halacha. Says the Gemara, Ilam Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, how can we say that this Braisa, that this halacha is following Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Rabbi Yosef Yehuda doesn't take back the marriage of the Yehud to the time of purchase. So clearly he holds that the Kedushin only takes place at the end. Not like this case where we say that even though he pushed it off, the Kedushin goes retroactively back to the beginning. Amar of Achav Rei D'Rava, and it's going according to the Rabbanan. Ask the Gemara Shita. Both of these cases, since the Rabbanan hold that when you do yield, it's the original money that affects the Kedushin. Similarly, when somebody does Kedushin today and he says that as long as I'm willing to consummate after 30 days, the Kedushin should be valid retroactively from today. Isn't that the exact same thing? In the case of the father and who sells the Amavriya, he didn't use the word Me'achshav. And the reason why Me'achshav L'Achash Shloish Yoyim is effective is because he clearly indicated Me'achshav. Here, he didn't indicate Me'achshav. Kamash Milan, that by Yehud, it's not required. Tan Yidach, says the Gemara, there's another Braisa. Hamaychas Bitoy, if somebody sells his daughter, V'halach V'kitchel Acher, and now after the father sold her, he marries her off to somebody else. Sichek Ba'odam, the owner, the person who bought her, thought that he will be able to take her as a wife, and really he's been fooled. And she's Mekudesh L'Sheni. She's Mekudesh to the second man, Divrei Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, the Chum Amim Ratzel Yad, the Chum disagreeing to say that if the owner wants to be Miyad her, the fact that the father was Mekadeshar in between afterwards, before the actual act of Yehud, it's meaningless, and the father wants, if the owner wants to do Yehud, it's fine enough. Says the Braisa, Moshe Loim Elisha Rei Mekadesh Lelachish Loishim Yoyim. Here he didn't say the word Me'achshav. He says, we're going to be Mekadesh after 30 days. And now somebody else was Mekadesh within those 30 days. Mekadesh L'Sheni. She's Mekadesh to the second man. The first Kedushin is meaningless. So ask the Gemara, this Moshel, this Halacha, is being said according to Laman. Ilaim L'Rabbanan, if we're going to say according to Rabbanan, says the Gemara, we learned clearly that Ha'amar Rabbanan, that even though this father went and was Mekadesh this daughter, before the owner did yud, it's meaningless what the father did. Imratzalayed, and the owner still has the right to do yud. And here it says that the second kedusha would be valid. Says the Gemara, Elam Ravach Brei de Rava, Mashal Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. It's going according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who says that the yud doesn't take place, and the yud is not considered a yud until the yud is actually done. And again, he said there has to be equity of a pruta at that time. And therefore, since she's not considered married to the owner or his son until the yud is actually done, therefore, the halacha is, since she's not considered married until that moment, the father went and married her off to someone else before that, it will be a valid kedushin. Says the Marpshita, according to the way we just explained, it's obvious that that's what Rabbi Yosi Ber Yehuda is going to tell us. Manatema omalei lachash loishim. In the case by yud, he did not say explicitly that's going to be after 30 days. And therefore, so it's different than the case when he said, I'm going to marry you in 30 days. When somebody says, I'm going to marry you in 30 days, so he gave a definite date to that marriage. Since he gave a definite date to that marriage, we would think maybe that even though he didn't say the word me'achshav, it doesn't make a difference. He clearly indicated when the marriage will take place, and that should be enough to give that marriage, the original marriage, strength to the distinction, not
and not to the other marriage. But in the case of Yud, as we keep on repeating, there is no specific date when the owner or his son are going to do Yud. That's why Rav Yosef Yehuda holds that it's not considered marriage until the Yud is actually done. Teaches us the Gemara, we don't say that. Tanya Idach. And in both cases, Rav Yosef Yehuda is going to say that since the second marriage properly took place before the Yud took place, or before the first marriage was done properly, the second marriage counts. Tanya Idach Hamaychas Bitoi. If somebody sells his daughter for an Amav Riyah Pasek, Amnash Shloi Layad. He made a condition that I'm marrying her off, but you, the owner, have no right to do Yud. The Skaima tonight, says the Gemara, the Halach Divrei Ramei. Ramei will say that the Halach is that the Tanai is a Tanai and he can't do Yid. V'cham Oimrim, Cham disagree, and Ratzel Yad Miad. If he wants to do Yud, he has a right to do Yud. Why? Because you can't make such a condition, said Chachamim. He made a condition, a stipulation, contrary to what the Torah Gdoisha taught us, and say, the Chamim, for Kal Masa Mashikos B'Torah, to no bottle. If you make a stipulation contrary to what it says in the Torah, it's meaningless. Ask the Gemara, Ulramei, we just said, holds that the Tanai Kayim, that we do give validity to this stipulation. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya, have we not learned in a brisa, that somebody is mekadesh a woman and he makes a stipulation? We know that a husband has obligations to his wife, and he says, "I won't be obligated to share. I won't be obligated to support you. B'sher ksus is I won't have to give you clothing. I won't have to have relations." Daloch says the Gemara. Says Ramea, raise him Kadesh, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin, Vatanoi bottle, Div Ramea. Yudaimer, Bedavish of a Mammon, if the stipulation was made regarding financial things, the clothing, the support, there you can make a Tanai Kayim. Because the Aloch is the culture Bedavish of a Mammon, anything which is financial, the Aloch is a woman or anybody can be Meichel. But Oina, having relations, is not a financial element, and therefore she can't be meichlet. So we hear, but what we see from here that Rameyer agrees that masna masha kosa b'tayra to not bottle. Answer the Gemara. Amar Chizkia Shani Hacha. Rameyer is going to tell us the Amar Kra, the pasuk says la'ama, that the Torah says the extra word v'chiyimcha ishas b'tay la'ama, and we learn from here. Sometimes the sale is limited that she's going to be an Amma and not a wife. Rabbanon that disagree and say that if you did a sale with this stipulation, it's meaningless, the stipulation. Hi, La Amma, my Avalei. Answers the Gemara. They needed to teach the Aloha. La Amma, Malamit Shemachal Psulim. That the Aloha is that you could sell her to a man that the issa to marry them is an issa lav. And the way to understand, we explained this in our previous year, you're not allowed to sell her to a man that she may not marry. But in halacha, there are differences what type of marriage that is. By chayv lavin, the kedushin is typhus. By chayv krisis, the kedushin is not typhus. So if you sold it to a man who is a chayv lavin, where there the halacha is, that the Kedushin Midaraisa is going to be a valid Kedushin, that's when you could sell it. Says the Gemara. Valoi Dinhu, why do we need to have such a Pasuk? Asked the Gemara. Imakachlapsulim, if a father has a right, if he marries off his daughter, when he's allowed to marry off his daughter, to a person that's a Chiv Lav, the Alochi is that it's a valid Kedushin, Loyim Karuena Lapsulim, so why shouldn't he be able to sell it to Psulim? Says to somebody who's a Chiv Lavin. So the Mara Malakacha Lipsulim, Shaken Odmakash Bita Shknara. The father has a right to sell off a daughter even when she's a Nara. She's 12 years old and she brought two Simonim. So since the father has such a strong jurisdiction over his daughter, that's why he can also only marry off the Psulim.
yimkrena l'psulim, but when it comes to selling her, that the halacha is ein adam meiches bitik shenara, a father cannot sell a daughter where she's already in nara. So maybe there, I would think that if he sold her to a chai v'lavin, it should not be a valid sale. Tamaloymer loam b'malamet shemaych l'psulim. If you're going to say that this pasuk is coming to teach us that she's allowed to be sold to someone who's a chayv laf to her, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Elazar, I don't need a pasuk for that because kfar nema, the pasuk already says imra be'ena dunah. What does ashla yada? What does it mean that she's bad that the husband doesn't do with her want to do yiyud? Shirabin said, because the husband realizes that this is a marriage which ought not to take place, because it's chai v'lavin. Not tam aloymer. So says Rabbi Elazar, what do I learn from the word la'oma? Lamed shemachol l'kroivim. That the halacha is, you're allowed to sell it to kroivim. Says the Gemara, because v'lai dinhu. And he makes the following kavachoyma. Imaychol l'psulim. If you're allowed to sell her, we just finished learning, you're allowed to sell her to a chai v'lav, loyim karena l'kroivim. A chai v'lav is much worse where there's a possibility, that's the way the Ritva explains the Gemara, but a chai v'lav, since technically the marriage is valid, there's a real possibility that this chai v'lav will marry her. And that's why maybe the Torah should say we shouldn't allow it. When the relationship is so much closer, chai v'karis, chai v'mises bezdin, certainly she should be allowed to marry them, says the Gemara. No, ma'ala machra le'psulim, when you sell it to somebody that's a chai v'lavin, where that loch would be in rotzul yad miyad, technically he could do yid. Ma'ala l'kroivim, where rotzul yad in miyad, the yid wouldn't take effect, because everybody agrees that with chai v'karis, with chai v'mises bezdin, there is no valid kedushin. Says the Gemara, Rameya, according to Rameya, that says that you can make a stipulation that I'm selling you my daughter as an Amma, but you will not be allowed to marry her. So the halacha that the Rabbanan and the Rabbi Elazar are learning that you could sell it, Rabbi Elazar says you could sell it to Kroivim, Rabbanan say, to Psulim, where will he know this halacha? Nafkle mehechda nafkle Rabbi Elazar. So about Psulim, he's going to learn it like Rabbi Elazar learned it. He's going to learn it from the pasuk that we just quoted, Imra b'ena adonai shlo yada. And the fact that he, about Kroivim, Savla Karabonon, he's actually, where will he know that you're allowed to sell it to Kroivim? That's what Rabbi Elazar does with the pasuk lama. Says the Gemara, he actually will disagree with Rabbi Elazar. And he's going to hold like Rabbanon, you can't sell it to Kroivim, and that's why the word La'ama is available to Ramei to teach us that a stipulation that I'm selling you my daughter, but Amanas, with the stipulation that Yid is not an option, is a valid stipulation according to Ramei, based on the word La'ama.